Marauders would intentionally cause shipwrecks and then loot the ships once they wrecked ashore. In the late 1600s, a New York ship captain named William Kidd was hired to hunt the pirates and put a stop to the attacks. Ironically, Captain Kidd himself was arrested for piracy in 1699. Legend has it that he and other pirates buried their treasure along the Jersey shore. Part 1. Chapter 1. Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn Wainwright was born into a middle-class family in a small town in Connecticut. She was one of the millions to become the baby boomer generation. Her father was a World War II veteran, her mother a homemaker. Like most American families at the time, people were readjusting to a post-war culture and society. Hollywood was launching movies by the hundreds, with blockbusters like Around the World in 80 Days, Singin' in the Rain, and Ben-Hur. And television was becoming a common source of entertainment, bringing shows like I Love Lucy, The Honeymooners, and Leave It to Beaver into households across the country, while Frank Sinatra, Sam Cooke, and a gyrating young man from Memphis named Elvis Presley filled the airwaves. Gwendolyn's childhood was well-adjusted, and everything seemed all right in the world. Even as the 50s turned into the turbulent 1960s, Gwen remained sheltered in the suburbs of Connecticut. Despite protests over U.S. involvement in Vietnam, civil rights, and women's rights going on in the country, she preferred not to engage in politics. Instead, she was interested in books, literary fiction, and poetry. In 1968, Gwendolyn turned 18 years old and headed off to college to major in English at Western Connecticut State University. It was far enough away from home for her to feel independent, but close enough to get back in under 2 hours. The school was small enough so she wouldn't get lost in a huge student body, but large enough to feel that she really left home and was out of high school. Gwen was good-natured and a good student. The combination gave her a measure of popularity, and she would often take day trips into New York City with some of her female classmates. Regardless of what the plans for the day entailed, Gwen would insist they stop at Rizzoli Bookstore on Fifth Avenue. After several treks into the posh bookstore, she began to imagine herself working under the chandeliers among the beautifully illustrated books and gliding across the marble floors as she ran her hand along the polished oak paneling, or gazing down from the second-floor balcony that flanked the sides of the store while customers perused the vast collection of titles. Gwen had no solid plans for what she would do after she graduated. She thought maybe she'd pursue a career in publishing, but mainly she assumed her life would go on as most others. She would meet someone, get married, have a kid, and then figure it out. Although many of her contemporaries had bigger visions for themselves, Gwen willingly went with the flow. There was enough turmoil brewing around the world. She didn't need to feed her head with more by worrying about the future. 1972. In a snap of a finger, before she knew it, 4 years were behind her and she was about to graduate. But there was no future husband in sight. Not yet. She weighed her options. She could move back in with her parents. And do what? No. Gwen knew there was more. And like many young women of the early 1970s, she wanted to see the world, experience life. And what better place than New York City? It wasn't the brightest time for the Big Apple. Cities were in decline, and New York was not immune. But Gwen couldn't let that deter her. Things would have to improve at some point, didn't they always? 2 months before graduation, Gwen made a list of employment agencies in Manhattan and lined up as many appointments as she could cover in 1 day. She was determined to accomplish her goal of finding a job and a place to live. She wasn't sure which would be more difficult, but she wasn't going to stop. It took several interviews until she finally landed a job as a receptionist.